Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Triangulation is brought to you by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and once again, time for TWiT's audience survey. We'd really like to hear from you. It's only going to take a couple of minutes, really. That's all. Just go to twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. Your anonymous feedback will help us make TWiT even better. And thanks for your continued support.
This is Triangulation, episode 283, recorded Monday, January 23rd, 2017. Alex Wellen. Triangulation is brought to you by Harry's, for guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set free. Just pay shipping. Start your free trial today. Harry's.com and use the code Triangulation. And by ZipRecruiter. Are you hiring? With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post to 200-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/TWiT. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple, step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to BlueApron.com/triangulation. It's time for Triangulation, the show where we get together with some of the most interesting people in technology, pick their brains for an hour. We call it Triangulation because there's three legs to this stool, three sides to this triangle. There's, of course, me and our guest. That's two, but you're the third leg. If you watch us live, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1900 UTC on Mondays, you can join us in the chat room at irc.twit.tv and participate in the conversation. We love it if you do. This is going to be a special one, and I hope a lot of you watching remember Tech TV, ZDTV before it, and a little show called Cybercrime. The host of Cybercrime joins us today. I bet you didn't think you'd get introduced that way. Alex Wellen,
yes.
Great to see you again.
It's been quite a ways since somebody introduced me as the host of Cybercrime.
You came to Tech TV as an attorney, I believe, yeah?
I'm still an attorney by all measures.
But you don't practice, do you?
No. My career was short-lived for 2 years, and then I came to Tech TV.
I call you a reformed attorney.
Yes, I am. I'm very grateful for my time in law school and my time practicing. I learned a lot.
I think there's a great discipline to it, and there's a lot you learn that you carry into everything you do, and certainly what you do today as chief product officer at CNN, and that's why he gets this great backdrop. Congratulations,
yes,
on the job. How long have you been at CNN?
I have been here over 11 years.
Oh, my God.
I know. Remarkable.
Wow.
But I've had a lot of different roles here, too. I've been in the 11 years, every couple of years, I've had a new opportunity.
Nice.
And it's a credit to CNN, the culture, the people that I've worked for have given me some great opportunities.
You're, according to your Twitter, a new media maven, a dad, and a winner of the New Yorker Cartoon Caption Contest.
Those are the proudest things.
In that order.
Yes.
Actually, you will also remember Alex's wife, Chris Kosach, now Chris Kosach Wellen. She was a host of the music show that we did on Tech TV, and I gather there were things going on behind the scenes that none of us suspected.
And, yes.
But you,
I'm very thankful to Tech TV, ZDTV, bringing me a wife, children.
Yeah.
Career, friends.
You picked a peach, too. Everybody loves Chris, and she's just one of my favorite people at Tech TV. You both are. And so it was really nice to see you married with a family, kids, and doing well. You live in Washington, D.C. now?
No, we're in Atlanta. So
Atlanta.
We moved there about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started in Washington, D.C., and I came on to be in the political unit, and then I ultimately moved on to from editorial to programming to business to ultimately moving into the strategic role for CNN.
Are you at your desk right now? Is this where you live?
It is. I had an office, and I thought it would be better to sit on the floor. So for the last couple of years, I moved to the floor and be closer to the journalism, be closer to the staff, and just be surrounded by the news. I think it's important.
Oh, I mean, this is, you're in a newsroom. I mean, what fun is that? The excitement there must be palpable. Although they seem very calm right now.
Well, I'm in one of many newsrooms. There's an actual newsroom on the fifth floor here in Atlanta where the news is being pulled together and reported out to many of our different affiliates and on air. But then I'm down here where a lot of the product folks are. So you have your product technology editorial and so forth.
CNN, I don't know if people know, but if you've been to Atlanta, it has a big building in Atlanta. There's a lot of people at CNN in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
That's where Ted Turner started it all these years ago. But speaking of all these years ago, let's go back a little bit in time. So you were a practicing attorney. How did you get to Tech TV?
Let's see if I can remember that far back. So I was an attorney in Manhattan back in 1995. And you know, I partnered with someone from law school, Luke Ryder, who's working actively and successfully in Los Angeles. And he and I pitched this novel idea that there would be high-tech crime on the internet and using technology. And so we pitched a show called Cybercrime. Oh, my gosh. Look at that.
Here it is.
So that's – oh, wow. Look at that. Look how dark my hair is,
But you, the rest of you is exactly the same. The love bug worm. It's funny because it feels like such a naive time. This was what, 1999, 98?
Yes, 1999. That's right.
And
2000.
It feels like that. This one is from May 2000, but it wasn't the first one. It feels like such a naive time compared to today, where cybercrime is you know, rampant as a much bigger story than it was. But I guess I gather there was plenty to talk about even in 1999 and 2000.
We did. We could fill a show. We did 100 episodes, a half hour every single week, and we were there were just heaps of different stories that we could track down, and a lot of it was early days, as you pointed out, but ultimately a lot of the big concerns about cyber terrorism and some of these other kind of very important topics right now were at the kernel in our initial stage.
Yeah.
So yeah, no. So we were lucky to have identified that trend early on. We were able to secure cybercrime.com, which was amazing when I was able to register it back in 1997. And it's turned out to be obviously central to even what I do today when we talk about the news.
Yeah, it couldn't be more central. I mean, what a great background. And we, you know, we still spend a lot of time talking about cybercrime. Almost every day we're talking about a new cybercrime. What happened to Luke?
Luke's doing well in Los Angeles. He's worked on The Blacklist, and he's worked on probably a dozen other shows where he's either an executive producer or basically running the shows.
Wow.
So he's done so well for himself.
Wow, The Blacklist is awesome.
I know, it is awesome.
So he went into fiction and you stayed with nonfiction.
That's right. That's exactly it. And for a while I was right there trying to decide at that crossroads whether I wanted to go down to Los Angeles or stay in news. And I got this great opportunity to work with CNN. And it was clear to me that that was the path. And I'm really glad that I went down that nonfiction path.
Yeah. Yeah, although I remember, were you not writing a novel? I feel like you were writing a novel, or maybe it was just scripts at the time.
You have an excellent memory. I did write a few scripts, and I did write a novel that was published as well as a nonfiction book. So the first book I wrote was nonfiction, Barman.
That was a great book. I forgot
Thank
about
you.
Your story as a law student. I love Barman.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And then I wrote a book about, well, inspired by my wife, Chris, called Lovesick, which was fiction.
Oh,
that's right. Thank you.
You were lovesick. Oh.
Well, parts of it were true. I mean, there was a crime ring of senior citizens, so that part didn't actually happen.
Now I got to go look it up. Lovesick, a novel.
That's right.
It was Love at First Sight, Halloween 1983. She was Princess Leia. He was Chewbacca. Determined to be more than star-crossed lovers, Andy vowed to do whatever it took to make Paige Day his bride, even if that meant dragging himself back to the small town of Crockett, California, and working for her father, Gregory, the local pharmacist.
The literary genius. Yes. Thank you.
Well, it's still in print.
Yes, it is. It's still available out there. I'll sign any autograph if somebody sends it.
Oh, that's great. But you decided news was more of interest. The thing you were doing at Tech TV, cybercrime, was of more interest to you. Did you go? So you did 100 episodes. You didn't go down with the ship as I did.
You have been so successful. Why? You're always so self-effacing. Maybe that's why you've been
so successful. I wrote it into the ground, and then they bought it. The bad guys bought it and took it to Los Angeles, and they said, thanks, Leo, but we'll see you later.
Did you just see that Esquire TV? They're winding down, I think. So
another failure.
That's right. So because it was Tech TV. No, it was ZDTV, Tech TV, G4. And then
G4 Tech TV briefly, then G4, then G4 folded and became Esquire TV, partnered with Esquire. Was that them? No, I don't know. You know, they talked about it, and I think they ended up not doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think they lost they lost the deal, believe it or not. You know how that happens, Hollywood.
Well, yes, very much so. But yeah, I was always interested in the news side of things, and I got an appetite for it while working on cybercrime, and had a lot of contacts in that space. And then ultimately, when I came to CNN, I was focusing on technology and the role that technology was playing in the news. But then I ultimately shifted in 2007, ahead of the 2008 election, to work in the political unit. And I was kind of...
Oh, what fun.
The integration czar between TV and digital at that time, and that changed probably the course of my career.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about that, because that was always something we struggled with at ZDTV and Tech TV, and even before that with the show we did for MSNBC called The Site. It was practically a war between the digital side and the television side. Not a lot of love lost, a lot of struggling. It was a difficult thing to do then, and probably still a difficult thing to do, and yet it's imperative, obviously, that all news media has to look at the digital side. So we'll talk about that more with our good friend and senior vice president at CNN, Chief Product Officer Alex Whelan. So great to have you on the show, Alex. I'm so glad you could join us. You might
Thanks,
notice,
Leo.
Alex, and I notice you're very cleanly shaved right now.
Thank you.
You might notice I also am very cleanly shaved, and I owe it all to a guy named Harry. I don't think there is a guy named Harry, actually. I think that they just picked that name. It's kind of a pun, isn't it? I never even thought of this. Harry's makes you un-Harry. Harry's was founded by two buddies, Jeff and Andy. There's no Harry involved, who were just, you know, they were so done with the idea of going to the drugstore, and they've locked up the razor blades because they're so expensive. And I remember very well the last Gillette blades I bought, I was at Target. I put them in the cart, and then I got to the checkout stand. They said $32 for four blades or eight blades, and I said no. And I said I think not. And that's when I found Harry's. Harry's is awesome. Everything you need. This is the Harry's shave kit that normally starts for $15. I'll explain how you can get a better deal on that in just a little bit. So it starts with the blade, and Harry's did a smart thing when Jeff and Andy said, "Well, okay, well, we want to do a startup. We want to bring Silicon Valley to this kind of poorly run business. How should we do it?" And they did a very interesting thing, very Silicon Valley thing. They bought the company in Germany. There's two in Germany that make the best blades, and they just bought one of them. They said, we'll make them ourselves and we'll sell direct, and that's how we can keep the price down. For about half the price of that drugstore blade, you're going to get a great, great shave. For the rest of the guys, for decades, I guess I can say the name. One big razor company, you know who they are, has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits. Harry says you don't have to pay so much. It starts with the Harry's shave set. You get the beautiful weighted ergonomic handle. This is a Truman. There's also the Winston set with the metal handle, which I use because I'm just that special. I gave my son Harry's for Christmas, too. It's kind of nice to pass it along. Three cartridges of five precision engineered blades, five in each cartridge with a lubricating strip, the trimmer blade, which I really like, so you can get right under your nose there and get a little hair right under your nose. You get the rich lathering shave gel, the travel blade cover. Now this is a beautiful set, and this is what I gave my son Henry. I gave Henry Harry's for Christmas. But Harry's is so confident that you're going to love by the way, once you get the kit, then of course you get you sign up for the monthly or bi-monthly blades. They ask you how often you shave, and they say, well, you should probably get it this often. And the refills on the shaving cream, they have the gel. I like the cream. I'm a cream guy. They want you to try this shave set for free. How about that? You just cover shipping when you sign up. Start your free trial today right now. Great way to get started for free at harrys.com. But you got to use the offer code triangulation at checkout, and you will get, at no additional charge, the lovely post-shave balm. By the way, neither the gel nor the balm are sample sizes. They're full size. You're not going to get that one of the little squirt pouches. This is the real deal. It smells lovely. I should put some on. Harrys.com. Use the offer code triangulation and get it for free, just shipping. Alex Wellen is our guest. You don't see that on CNN, do you? You're not going to get Anderson Cooper doing that. Alex's jaw meet floor. We love Alex. Good friend from the days of ZDTV. He's now SVP, Senior Vice President at CNN, Chief Product Officer. What does that mean?
Chief Product Officer.
What's the product?
The product is how we ultimately deliver our content across multiple different platforms.
It's TV too?
It is.
It's not just digital.
It's digital delivery of everything across our owned and operated platforms as well as a third-party platform. So basically,
wow,
it's everything outside of an analog signal that you plug into the wall. How are we delivering news to consumers and now and in the future? So it involves mobile, it involves video, it involves Facebook and Snapchat and any way that you're getting CNN, either on our websites and apps or on third-party platforms.
That is a big job.
It's a great challenge, and we have a really big team dedicated to thinking about these different platforms and building the new experiences and the new ways to broadcast CNN. So that term broadcast is something that we've kind of reclaimed over the last couple of years, and we've thought about what does it mean to be a modern broadcaster.
I like that. You don't want to abandon that. I think in fact, that's why I never liked the word podcast, because it seemed like a diminutive of broadcast. And it doesn't matter whether you come through the airwaves or over a cable or through the internet. It's the same content. So why should you label your content by how it's delivered?
Precisely. So, yeah, my mandate is really to pull together technology, product managers, designers, business and strategy together to understand kind of where we need to go, how people are consuming news now, and how they ultimately will consume it, and then how we build a business around that.
Yeah. You were behind CNN Go, which was, gosh, that's 4 years ago right now that you started that. That was CNN's online presence. And it was really remarkable because I remember very well how hard it is for a cable channel to kind of, I don't want to get you in trouble, but I would say thumb their nose at the cable companies and say, we're going to go over the top. We're going to go directly to our customers. I'm sure everybody would like to do that, but you still need cable distribution. So it was a bold move.
Well, and I want to be clear. I mean, that product, CNN Go, is really how people are connecting with our linear broadcasts as well as our massive library of content through digital properties, iPads, iPhones, Android, OTT like Apple TV, Roku. But in order to enjoy that coverage and that product, you do still
– You have to have a cable subscription. I know.
You do. Yeah. Or a satellite or a telecom credentials to sign in. But ultimately, it's a way to deliver that in a more modern way.
Is that contractual? Or did you have to do that because the cable companies said you had to do that? The MSO, they call them MSOs, the Comcast and Coxes and Time Warners of the world. Or did it seem prudent to do it that way?
It was something that we both contractually agreed that we wanted to do. So if you'll notice across Xfinity and a number of other MSOs or MVPDs, they have experiences which entitle their subscribers to get linear broadcasts and long-form content. And as part of that relationship, we can also build our own bespoke custom experiences on our platform so long as people use their credentials that they've gotten from their TV provider. So it was that even exchange. At the end of the day, the most important thing was that people wanted to watch and get the news across mobile devices and connected TVs, and we collectively agreed that this was a good way to do that.
Yeah. Very diplomatic.
Well, look, I
mean, eventually, CNN's so powerful. No cable company can not carry CNN. And I look at ESPN, I look at the other very powerful basic cable channels like ESPN. Wouldn't you rather just go directly to customers?
I would rather, and what I think is less important than what we want to do, but I would rather do what customers want and
right.
need. So I think the Pavlovian or natural instinct is to say go direct to consumers. But in fact, some of the packages and bundles and the way they're being set up now, you see this even with some of the smaller packages, are really attractive, right? They actually do right by the customer because they pull together some of the most critical content that they're looking for, and they deliver it. And so you don't have to sign up for 20 different brands, right? You can actually get a bundle that works for your life. At the same time, there will be use cases, undoubtedly, where we want to deliver our linear broadcasts, our content in different ways. And so we're always looking at that. I mean, we've always done what they call EST, which is electronic sell-through, where we allow people to buy episodes and to buy particular franchises. But the most important piece of the news is really real-time. Ultimately, we need to do that breaking news and
live.
To reach people
yeah.
live. Which you appreciate, and to complement that coverage, we've done a lot of original programming too. So CNN looks very different than it did a couple of years ago, I think you would agree, as far as both live and breaking news and original programming. And so it's kind of fun to be in this role right now, because in the past we would just worry about live simulcast, but we can create great live products, and we can also create a library of content with the Anthony Bourdains of the world and Lisa Lings and all of our films and franchises, which many people who are listening have watched.
Oh, absolutely. And let me be clear that you're not responsible for editorial decisions.
No.
Okay.
Nope. So I partner with my editorial colleagues, and really we bring together those editorial products. So if you think about it, Leo, the first question is, what are the stories that we want to tell? And then ultimately it's my team's responsibility to think about, well, then how do we want to tell those stories, and to work with editorial to build these experiences that are frictionless, that are addictive, that are easy to use, and that are essential.
Yeah. And in fact, I loved the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. You're absolutely Anthony Bourdain. You've done so much great stuff recently, and I know that you weren't responsible for this, but recently acquired Casey Neistat's company. Casey, of course, a huge YouTuber, really creative, fascinating guy who wasn't known for news coverage particularly, but he's got this great. I'm going to guess that the trick for CNN is to stay relevant as the audience ages out, and you start to look at young people and how they consume news. And YouTube is how everybody under 30 consumes every kind of video content. So it makes a lot of sense to bring in a YouTube star to help beef up the production. He's not on the main CNN though, right? Or is that not the case? I don't know what he's doing there.
He may appear on CNN TV, yeah. But in many ways, and it's really a credit to my boss, Andrew Morse, doing that acquisition and pulling together Casey and the team. They have a great tech team, as well as, of course, the millions that follow Casey. And so we're looking at that as a separate entity, a separate company, and what we're going to do with that around live and how we reach his audience and that audience. But I wouldn't underestimate how much CNN resonates with millennials too. It's been ranked over and over again as kind of the number one millennial reach for unique visitors too. So I think it's just it's both, kind of again modernizing what the CNN brand means, but then also looking at these emerging businesses and making sure that we're connecting with people in the ways that they're getting the news.
Yeah. That's why your portfolio is so interesting, because you're taking what is a classic cable channel and bringing it into the 21st century. And it is all of a sudden a variety of platforms that you have.
I appreciate that. I mean, not to jump in, but I think It's one of the areas, Leo, that I'm the most excited about. I think for a long time, it was about being a destination, right? So we expected that people would tune into the TV, would go to our apps, would type in CNN.com on the website, and they still do. More than 100 million uniques do that every single month. But we also know that people are connecting with the brand in ways that we never could have imagined if we're not on those platforms like Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on goes the list. We've done experiments in Amazon Alexa and Facebook instant articles. Look, Amazon just came on. Amazon.
Oh, you have an Echo sitting right over there on your left, huh?
I do.
I've renamed. So you call it Amazon. That's smart. I renamed mine to Echo.
Well, I'm Alex. So
yeah, it would be a problem. I didn't even think of that.
I know. That's good. But Google Home is sitting right next to.
Of course, it is.
To Amazon.
You know, Alexa, just this morning. Of course, I have Echoes in every room. Just this morning, I thought. I have one Google Home. I thought, well, let me ask Google Home for the news because I usually do the flash briefing. You got to be everywhere. You can't just say this is where we'd like to be. You want to be everywhere your audience wants you, right?
That's right. So I think what I've said to the team is that we need to be both that destination, that Pavlovian response to the places that they're accustomed to, that we own and operate. But then as my boss said, it's got to be a Pavlovian response on these third-party platforms, so both a destination and a distributed property. And that's kind of how we've looked at it, and that's why we've been early to experiment on Google AMP, Facebook Instant Articles, as I mentioned earlier, Google Newsstand, the on Echo, I didn't say the A word. And so on and on and on, I think we've learned a lot about how people are engaging with the brand. And we it is a constant feedback loop, and we're ready to understand kind of where the users are and then ultimately turn that into a business model.
So there's no question that CNN has a absolutely dominant, well-known brand. Yeah, but every company that is in the business of any kind, but news business for sure, has struggled with, I think of the New York Times, the Washington Post, that they seem to have done well, but have sort of really struggled in the new era. It's tough to take, you know, and then you look at Polaroid and Kodak and other brands. Kodak, for instance, which knew digital was coming, had a great strategy and a great plan, still couldn't do it.
That's right.
It's tough.
Yeah, well, it's Clay Christensen's innovator's dilemma, right? So it's not like you don't see disruption coming. And in some ways, it's coming at you in slow motion. The question is, how far along are you? If you're being blindsided, is it all going in slow motion? I mean, has it already hit? And so when we think about disruption and we think about the landscape, it is very much about understanding kind of where this is all going and placing some bets early on so that when someone does ultimately own the living room or own news, that you're ready. If you're not disrupting it, you're ready. You're ready for the disruption. And so we spend a lot of time not really worrying about it so much as focused on trying to make sure that we are connecting with our audiences in deep, meaningful ways. And so that's really where the fun begins.
Well, as an example, November 8th, November 9th, when was election? November 8th, you streamed election night coverage online to a record 2.3 million concurrent views.
That's right. Yeah, we set records for, I think I have the numbers here, but we did 29 million live streams. But what was interesting was that we were doing 2.3 million simultaneously at one point at our peak.
Amazing.
It was incredible. We did about 500,000 just video starts. We did 77 million uniques all on one day. We broke virtually every record that we've had across social, mobile, through all of our platforms. We ended up the year 2016 number one in multi-platform uniques and in video for 19 months running for social. It really was an extraordinary time, and it's really a credit to the way editorial and technology came together to build those products.
At what point do you foresee, and is this something that you're that the company fears, a crossing point where more people are watching online? There's still more people watching on television, but it's coming close to that inflection point, isn't it?
It is coming to a point where the time spent is often longer on digital than it is on TV. TV, the size of the audience and the frequency is much higher, but the time spent for those who are engaging on digital platforms is higher. And so it really comes down to how you define digital. So there's something, I'll give you an example, dynamic ad insertion. All it means is that when you're watching an ad, when you get to an ad break, which you're familiar with, you just did an ad, in most cases, right, we're inserting ads into an ad break and everyone's getting exactly the same thing. But on digital, we can target ads, we can change ads, you and I will get different ads. And so that's clearly where everything is going, right? Yeah. Digital, dynamic ad insertion. And so in many ways, the pressure that we feel on the digital side is really architecting the future, because we know that ultimately TV is going to have digital dynamic ads, right? And so many ways, you know, and maybe this is not directly answering your question, but I think that what you call digital versus what you call linear is going to blur together in substantial ways. And so it's just going to be more about video consumption and video services, and either live or near live.
I should explain, just because we're using the term linear. That's considered watching in real time, like when you watch TV. That's linear, as opposed to downloading and watching later.
Yeah. No. Thank you. So I think
I know that term, but I don't know if it's widely.
No. Thank you. For reminding me, because you're absolutely right. For the audience, I think when I'm using linear, I'm thinking of our standard network, like you said, that's being broadcast in real time and often delivered through a coaxial cable.
Right.
So there's not a lot of time shifting and so forth.
Right.
Too.
Right.
That's right.
We're talking to Alex Wellen. Let me just give you the bio. High tech intellectual property litigator at the New York law firm of Penny and Edmonds, published two novels with Random House. We've just talked about Lovesick, is the inventor of dozens of patents. This I'm going to have to ask you about. Holds a law degree from Temple, a systems engineering degree from Rutgers, attended the advanced management program at Harvard Business School. He's senior vice president at CNN. And has the title of chief product officer, which is very common in Silicon Valley, but I don't think is super common in network news. Do you have cohorts, chief product officers at other networks?
We do now. When they made the role a couple of years ago, and Andrew Morse came to me and offered me the opportunity, it was a progressive idea. It was very much a Silicon Valley notion. And it was an opportunity to learn so much, right? It was a way to bring together for the first time product management, technology, design, and look at it with a layer of business and strategy. And so we've invested deeply. I don't know if you're familiar, but in the last year, we've invested over $20 million in CNN Digital. So I've hired nearly 100 people between design, product, and technology. Wow. So they're serious about growing this part of the business. And now you're seeing chief product officers pop up. They, a lot of them places in traditional heritage organizations as well as new media. And so it means a lot of different things to different people. It's a squishy term for some. But here at CNN, it's pretty clear what we need to do. You know, I'm going to ask you a question because I love talking about products. So what are the products? What are the apps that you use, Leo? Like, and what do you like about them?
Well,
I know it's a broad question. But
I do
I'm
have
curious.
The CNN app on all my devices. And actually, that was initially because of breaking news. The fact that you had a switch that said, give me breaking news notifications, that was the first breaking news app I had on any of my devices, because I wanted those notifications, right, when something big happens. But I have many other news apps now, all of which now do breaking news, of course, New York Times, Washington Post. I'm watching carefully Washington Post's digital strategy, as I'm sure you are, with Jeff Bezos as the owner. They clearly have a mandate to become a digital platform. And boy, is this a golden time to be a news organization, because despite the fact that news organizations are, at least according to polls, widely reviled by the American public, we're also consuming news more than ever before. We're glued to the news channels, aren't we? And the newspapers. Mm-hmm. So it's a golden time. I presume you mean in apps in the news sphere in your.
No, look, I'm curious. Well, let me just.
I use Snapchat. Things. I use Snapchat. You bet I use Snapchat. I got the spectacles, man. I'm with it. I'm hip. I'm happening. I bet you I get an award for being the oldest Snapchat spectacle user. I do Facebook, Twitter. I have a mixed feeling on Twitter. Let's take a break because I'd love to talk to you about your interest in these platforms and how each one has a different role. And CNN and Snapchat are an interesting mix. So, and I know you're in there. So we'll talk about that and the discovery, the brands on Snapchat. But first, a word from our sponsor. You're ready for a digital insertion, Alex?
I'm ready.
That sounds painful. Our show today brought to you by a company we use, and now I think more than a million companies, many of the Fortune 100 and thousands of small, medium-sized businesses use to find the right people fast. It's ZipRecruiter. And it's such an important job. If you're the hiring person, whether it's where you're the chief cook and bottle washer, or if you're the HR person, if you're doing the hiring, you have I'm not blowing smoke here when I say you have the most important job in a company, because a company is made up of the people, and the people you hire can make or break your company, and you know that. But unfortunately, the hiring often gets short shrift because you're shorthanded. Let's do it right. Let's use ZipRecruiter to be better, to do it better. One click of the mouse gets you on 200-plus job boards. Now, why is that important? Well, here's my feeling. The right person's out there. There is a perfect person for that opening you have. But you don't know where they are, what job boards they're on, what part of the country they're in. You don't know. So you've got to go everywhere people are. You've got to also be on Twitter and Facebook. You've got to be everywhere. And ZipRecruiter does that, puts you everywhere. Now, you may say, and I know what you're thinking, I don't want millions of resumes coming into my mailbox or hundreds of phone calls a day. Well, don't worry, that won't happen. All the candidates roll into the ZipRecruiter interface. And so you have total control of how you do this, when you do this. They allow you to create questionnaires for your candidates, multiple choice questions, yes, no questions, essay, whatever you want, so that you can quickly see the thumbs up and thumbs down. You can quickly rank them. You can eliminate people and find the right person fast. Any city, any industry, anywhere in the country, you post once you watch your candidates roll in. In fact, within 24 hours, you'll start getting many, many applications without emails, without calls to your office. ZipRecruiter, you can try it free right now at ZipRecruiter.com/twit. See the companies that use ZipRecruiter? Everybody, including us. ZipRecruiter.com/twit for your free trial. Hire that next person free. ZipRecruiter.com/twit. Alex Wellen is our guest. The Emmy Award-winning Alex Wellen is our guest. How did you get an Emmy? You said you don't
hand them out like candy now.
You said you don't do content.
I did in a former life. I mean, that's the empathy gene. I mean, I'm a journalist at heart. I'm a storyteller. So I did a lot of stories while at Tech TV, and we won a local Emmy. Jennifer London won a local Emmy for us, and then for our show Cybercrime, and then we won for the 2008 coverage. We won an Emmy, a national Emmy, and I was a part of that team.
Nice. Were you working with our old friend Borman?
I was.
David Borman?
He's the one who handed me my Emmy. Yep. That's right. Yep. He was responsible.
Yep. David worked, the reason we both know David is because David was at the original Ziff Davis television production of the site. He was the executive producer. He was a VP at NBC. He was the liaison to the executive producer and the guy who told me, you're not going on the air. And and you may remember him from he produced the Imus in the Morning TV show, and Imus used to call him Moose Butt Borman. But he went on to CNN's Washington Bureau. You must have worked with him then on the famous 3D projection
of yes.
Jessica Yellen into the studio. That was 2008, was that?
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
That must have been fun.
It was extraordinary. He was man, a great inspiration. He could see around corners.
Brilliant guy.
Yeah. He was a great advocate and a teacher.
He lives just up the road a piece, we're trying to get him down here. He moved to Northern California, to the wine country.
He would be a great guest.
He really would. Tell some stories.
Yes.
So I know you only have a little time left, so we're gonna move along here quick. So I said we were, what did I say we were going to talk about when we came
Snapchat.
Back? Yeah. So Snapchat's really interesting because, and I'm very interested in how brands see Snapchat, because for most of us, Snapchat looks like something that's very private and personal and we share with friends. But you were early on, you were one of the original dots in the Discover tab, weren't you?
We were. Thank you for noticing. Yeah, we were. I'd like to believe that that product really is emblematic of kind of where we're going. We were an early adopter. We helped, I think, shape that product and the storytelling techniques. We learned a lot from them. They learned from us. We launched, and a couple of things. One is the audience that we get there is probably an audience we wouldn't reach, but for Snapchat, for the audience that we do reach, we create very bespoke content, even ad executions. But more than anything, we have an entire team that's working on telling stories on that platform. If you haven't tried the CNN experience on Snapchat Discover, you should. Anyone who's listening right now, make your own decision. But it's unlike any experience you've had with CNN before. And I'm proud to just be, kind of a part of that story with our editorial and product partners. But it is an extraordinary product, and it's an impressive one that they've pulled together, and a great storytelling technique.
How is what you do on Snapchat different than what you do on TV? Do you target a younger audience, or?
Yeah, I think it starts with understanding the audience first, and again, the stories that we want to tell, and then ultimately how we want to tell them. So we have a certain type of story that we want to tell. When we do a story and we think about the story, we think about, okay, well, how would this look on different platforms? And we look at Snapchat and we say, this is the target audience, and we say, this is how we want to tell this story, through imagery, through stories, through text, through videos. And I think if you look at it, you'll see that it very much addresses that audience in that way. And we see engagement all across the edition every day, and we're publishing it multiple times per day and 7 days per week. So it's a big lift, Leo, because we're doing that on Facebook Instant Articles. We're doing it on on Facebook Messenger, on Kick, on Line.
You're using Kick and Line, the other messaging platforms, too.
We are.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, it's gotten more competitive on Snapchat. When it was just dots, you could quickly find CNN. Now, everybody's got, I don't know, do you have a shot of, yeah, you do. There it is. So now you've got all this competition because it's all image-based. And thank goodness CNN has started to crack down on, there were a lot of, bogus link-baity images on here. But I have to kind of, I don't even see, I know where CNN is because I see it all the time, but you have to go down and kind of, it's hard even to see the brand now, to see the CNN content. Beautifully produced, though. And I think this is where your television background really, really helps, because you've got the natural, kind of production values to this.
Well, thank you.
So this is important. I mean, the numbers make it worthwhile.
They do. We've seen a million uniques that we might not have seen in other platforms. Okay. We're able to monetize it with snaps inside in between articles. And so it's proven to be one of the most important platforms for us as we look to grow onto other into other parts of social and messaging. I think it's more, for me, it symbolizes kind of how we're looking at the brand across multiple different platforms. And so Apple News, for example, we were doing over 30 million uniques in a given month. So there's another platform where we're reaching people on a third-party platform, but doing it in an authentic way. We were there very early. We helped shape what that product would look like and how we would do the storytelling. And by all accounts, are at the top news provider on that platform.
When you go to meetings in Atlanta, though, is it still driven by television? Does it start at TV and then move to the other things, or is it at this point now become kind of co-equal partners?
I think it's become a place that was TV first, that kind of maybe flirted with the idea of mobile first, but that has become story first. So I think
story first, I love.
That's right. So they start with the story, and then ultimately, if it makes sense to break it online or to start it on air or to do them simultaneously or to launch it first on Facebook Messenger, then that's what we'll do.
So the structure is then quite a bit different. You have an editorial team, you have a editorial meeting or something where you just say, these are the stories we're going to be doing today. And then you decide how you're going to package them for the various platforms you're going to deliver them on. Is that how it works?
Yeah. So what's nice is that my boss, Andrew Morse, oversees not only digital completely, but all news gathering. And so he's able to bring together all of our TV and digital resources underneath Meredith Artley and Chris Barron and Ed O'Keefe, all the leaders, my peers, to look at this cross-platform in a genuine way. It took years, honestly, to restructure the organization this way. Yeah, it definitely does. And that's why it's been such a great journey. I've been here, like I said, over a decade, and it's never looked like this. It's never operated this way. And it all goes back to Jeff Zucker. I mean, it's really his vision. And he's really, the president of CNN Worldwide, he's transformed this place.
So do you go into those editorial? Give me kind of an example of a story and how the process works.
So there are morning and afternoon editorial calls and meetings where we're setting the agenda or the storylines for the day. It's obviously very fluid and organic. And we have product technology designers in many of these meetings early on to help think about how we're going to tell the story on these platforms. And ultimately, there is just deep connective tissue like never before between our news gathering, our product and technology folks. So if you think about TV, TV is just another form of technology, right?
Sure.
It's a pretty established tech stack. It works 100 out of 100 times, as you know, but it is not so unlike mobile or OTT or Apple TV or Roku. At the end of the day, it's delivering those pixels to that platform.
Oh, but man, I mean, I have to think about radio and TV or audio and video. You have to think of, and every platform is unique. I mean, the way it looks on Snapchat is not the way it's going to look on Apple News. It's not even the same audience. So you have to have teams that think about, I presume, you have a Snapchat team, an Apple News team, a Facebook team.
We do.
And they understand the platform. They're given the marching orders. Here's the content. Here's the story. Here's your assets, video, pictures, audio. Now do the thing you do to make it appropriate to that platform.
That's right. Look, you're a master at this. You've been doing this for a long time. You know exactly what it takes to deliver.
I know
on
my
the right
platform.
At
yeah.
The right time. But you make it look. But of course, you make it look easy, and you know how hard it is. And
it's
very similar. We're very much in a learning phase right now. You mentioned our mobile app. Our mobile app, and this is a little preview for your audience. But our mobile app will look substantially different and modern at the end of next month in February. There, it's going to be much more visual. Tons more video. We're going to be able to package our content in 360 degrees. We're going to have 360 degree content as well as VR. We're going to be able to allow you to set your alerting and frequency. It's going to be something that we need to do over and over again to evolve our products and to grow them and to deal in often what's a vertical world for a mobile device.
What an exciting time to be in news.
Really is.
Not just because the news is exciting, but because the delivery is a challenge.
It is. It is. Don't you feel the same way? I know you don't do news, but you do news. You do technology news. You're connecting with people in real time. It's very fluid. I mean, it is extraordinary time to try to make sense. That's what you do so well, is I think that you take what is chaos and a lot of confusing signals and you try to make sense of it. And then that way, I think you and I have worked together for many years and we still share that interest.
Yeah. Well, I love it that you start at the story. That's where you start. Our show today brought to you by Blue Apron. they always give me this ad at lunchtime, which is the meanest thing ever. But the good news is when I go home tonight, that Blue Apron box will be my doorstep with delicious ingredients ready for me to cook an amazing meal. Really, I'm playing above my level when I do Blue Apron. It makes me the best cook ever, and it makes it easy. You can do it too. So the idea is Blue Apron is trying to make home cooking accessible to everyone while supporting a more sustainable food system. They really genuinely want to do that. They want really good, fresh, wholesome ingredients in your house, and then build a community of home chefs. Even if you never thought, oh, I can't cook, if I can't boil water, you can do Blue Apron. Here's what happens. You go to the Blue Apron site, you pick, there's different recipes every week. They don't repeat very often, maybe once a year. Because, you know, there's some favorites you want to try again. So you pick your meals. They deliver them in a refrigerated box, fresh, never frozen. Exactly the right ingredients, pre-portioned. So if you need like 3 tablespoons of soy sauce, you get three. You don't get a big bottle. You get 3 tablespoons. You get, you know, exactly what you need, so there's no waste. And you get this great recipe card that completely explains how to make it. Plus, they have videos online for basic skills. So it's like a little cooking school. You'll save time because you don't have to shop. You'll also save money. And I think people look at this and go, well, that's got to be a premium product. No. The grocery store is 60% more expensive than Blue Apron because they don't have a grocery store. They don't have to pay the rent. They don't have to pay the clerks. They do the whole thing in the mail. And that really saves them money, saves you money. Plus, you're going to get the kind of ingredients that you know you want for your family. They have a family plan. They have a couples plan. Even for singles, this is great. If you do the two-person plan, you just have it for lunch the next day. And it's great. Look at these burgers and red cabbage slaw. with sweet potato fries. My God. Spicy shrimp and Korean rice cakes with cabbage and furikake. Pork chops and garlic piccata with scallion rice and spinach. Now, let me tell you, you just go and pick the one you like. You never have something you don't like. Mushroom and chipotle pepper enchiladas with lime sour cream. The other thing that happens, and I can't underscore this enough, it happened to me. Yeah, you get this once, but now you know how to cook this. And it's kind of like the path is paved. The next time, you can say, you know, tonight I want to have Cajun catfish and spiced rice. And they'll say, what? You don't know how to make that? Oh, yeah, I did. I made it, and it was good. It was good. Blue Apron. We got three free meals free for you right now. BlueApron.com/triangulation. BlueApron.com/triangulation. Free shipping for 3 meals free. I should warn you, though, they don't deliver to Alaska, Hawaii. Just 99% of the continental United States. That's how they keep it fresh. BlueApron.com/triangulation. Try it today. Alex Wohn is our guest. He is the chief product officer and senior vice president at CNN, but also, I'm very fortunate to say, happens to be a very good friend from the days of Tech TV and even ZDTV, where he was the host of Cybercrime. And he's married to another wonderful Tech TV host, Chris Kosech. Now Chris Kosech, well, and the father of 2 kids, lives in Atlanta. Congratulations on your Hawks.
Thank you.
Have you become Hawks fans?
Of course. How can you not be a Hawks fan?
I mean Falcons. What am I talking about? Hawks and
Falcons. Talking about the Falcons.
The Hawks are good too, but the Falcons I'm talking about, yeah.
Well, the Falcons from this weekend, yeah.
You're going to the Super Bowl, baby.
That's right. Well, not me personally. But yes, I will.
Well, I think you should because it's news. It's news.
Thank you. That's right. I will be there.
So what do you see for the future? You said you're redesigning. We'll just wrap it up quickly because I know you have to go, but you're redesigning the app. What else? What other areas are you starting to think that CNN needs to have a presence in?
All the growth's coming from mobile and connected TVs. So we spend a lot of energy thinking about our mobile experiences, either our apps or the Snapchats, Facebooks, Twitters, and third-party platforms. But I think areas that we're spending a lot of time exploring, obviously, VR content. So we're creating original content around VR and experiences inside of Google Daydream and the Samsung VR headsets and Oculus. We are also doing a lot around bots. It's more important than ever.
Chat bots.
That's right. So in some cases, it's through, as you know, Google Home or Echo. But I'll give you an example, Leo, that you didn't know. So if you go to Echo right now and you enable the CNN skill, what you will get there is the ability to ask about individual stories. And what we're doing is we're segmenting every single story that's appearing on air in real time, tagging it, so that if you want to say, what is the latest on Trump? What is the latest on Russia? You can get back a response, which is a segment from air that may have aired only minutes ago. So, and there, again, is kind of the first signs of what a chat experience might look like.
I did know about that because you launched it in November, and I immediately added it to my Echo.
Thank you.
Because it feels like you're interacting and saying, tell me more about that, Wolf Blitzer. And Wolf tells you. And I really think that's an interesting platform. But you don't know ahead of time when you do this if it's And you got to throw money and energy and people into it, and you just don't know how it's going to evolve, how it's going to deliver. Nobody saw the Echo 2 years ago as being the platform that it is. Must be fun.
It is. And look, it's not a guessing game. Some of it's obvious, right? So when Apple calls to do Apple Watch, when you're talking to Samsung about a device, you have to experiment on these platforms because you just don't know. But in other cases, you really need to set some goals up front. You just need to say, okay, over this certain period of time, this is what success might look like. And then you give yourself a running start and you make those bets, or else you'll never know.
Alex, please give a great big hug to Chris and tell her I miss her and I miss you. It was so much fun working with you in all those years ago. And now it is all those years ago. But it's so great to see people like you do so well at CNN. I think of on Headline News, Erica Hill is now on Headline News.
Michaela
is on Headline News. You guys are working so well together. And it's so great to see these Tech TV alumni soar into the stratosphere and continue to do the good work that we did way back when on that little minor cable station coming out of San Francisco.
We feel the same way about you. You're our godfather. You've kind of showed us, and I've learned so much from you. I know Chris feels the same way. She's crazy about you. We love seeing this new incarnation of technology, right? Because it was so very deep and personal to us. And so your program actually is symbolic of a lot of the work that so many people did for so long.
Yeah, we want to keep it. We want to keep the spirit of Tech TV alive, even though, you know, it's compared to all these new platforms you're doing, it's pretty old hat. Alex, great to talk to you again. All the best.
Yes. Thank you, Leo.
Take care.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. You too. Alex Wellen, I don't need to give him good luck. He's got it. He's Chief Product Officer and Senior Vice President at CNN. We do Triangulation every Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific. Please stop by and join us, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC. The chat room is always great. Wonderful to have you there at irc.twit.tv. But I know there are people listening right now in the air, in airplanes, in your car. It's easy to get audio and video versions of the show. Just go to twit.tv/TRI. We also have apps on every platform, Apple TV, Roku, Stitcher. We're on YouTube Live if you want to watch live, youtube.com/twit. Like CNN, but without the big budget, we try to be everywhere you want us to be. So please take advantage of that. And we'll see you next week on Triangulation. Bye-bye.